Kof Zayin Elul, Monday the 26th of September, Rabbi Yehoshua Posen, Kivnei Moron.
Good morning. We're standing here 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, and the truth is, if I wanted to prepare properly for the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, I could have an entire year of shiurim going through line by line the tefillah and the kavanas behind the tefillah, and probably wouldn't be enough. So today wanted to just pick words which we say the summits, the highlights of the one of the highlights of the davening in Rosh Hashanah, and the origin of it is a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, tells us Va'arba Prokim Ha'olam Nidon. There are four times in the year when the world is judged, and the Mishnah continues to say Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah called by Olam Ovin Lefonav Kivnei Morin, that on Rosh Hashanah all of the creations come before Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kivnei Morin. We'll come to what that means in a minute. Shenema Hayotze Yachad Libon Hamleiv Nakom Haasim. So the Gemara, two daf later, on Daf Yuches Amud Aleph, just before the Gemara comes back to this Shprach Kivnei Morin, and the Gemara asks, "My Kivnei Morin, what does it mean Kivnei Morin? Hocha Tagimuhin Bovel." They translate it to mean Kivnei Amarno, like sheep. Like sheep, will come in a minute to Rashi, how Rashi explains what that means. Rishlokish Omar, Rishlokish says, Kamailis Beis Morin, like the ascendancy to Beis Morin, we'll see again what that means. And Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, Kechayolosh Beis David, Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel says it means that the soldiers of the army of David. Rashi comes along and explains each of these three shittas as to what Kamei Morin means. The first pshat, Kamei Morin, meaning like sheep, explains Rashi when it comes time for the shepherd to take Maisa Behema, so he has to count out the sheep, because every tenth one is going to be Maisa Behema. So he gathers them together and he passes them through a small passageway, and each counts them off, and at the tenth one he puts a strip of paint on the back of the tenth one, then he knows when they go back out into the pen which one's a Maisa Behema. So Kivnei Morin means that you're filing through one by one. It explains Rashi the next pshat, Kamailos Beis Horon, that the ascendancy to Beis Horon were, so to speak, steps which went up, and Rashi says there was a narrow drop on either side of these steps, to such an extent that people had to walk up one at a time, because otherwise it was a sakon, two people would try and get through, would walk up, and possibly Chas V'Shalom one might fall, and therefore it was also, again, a situation where one has to pass through one at a time. And finally, Rashi says, what's Gechayolos Beis David? Rashi explains how chayolos, how soldiers fit into the word morin, from moire, from fearing. And Rashi says that chayolos based on when the soldiers used to go out to battle, they used to count them out one by one. Hakaponim, we have three mahalchim here in the Gemara, and every one of the mahalchim is effectively telling us the same thing, that Rosh Hashanah Kodesh Baruch Hu charges each and every one of us individually, as an individual. So the kasha is obvious. The Mishnah says, kol b'ayram, we pass b'ayram b'fono kivnei morin. So just say like sheep. The Gemara brings down the first verse, and the Gemara means like sheep. It fits into the word the best. The Poshut Pshat is very simple. Why does the Gemara have to bring two different shittas as to what Kivnei Morin means, when effectively it's the same thing? The first Mandama says means you pass through one at a time, and the next Mandama says means you pass through one at a time, and the third Mandama says, no, you know what it means? You pass through one at a time. The only source can only go up. Just stick with Kivnei Morin, stick with sheep, and everyone's happy. The number two is doing this. But I today want to go through the teretz of Reb Chaim Volozhin. We'll see if we have time later, possibly we'll see Mashal's got teretz. I want to go through the teretz of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin explains, as to some of the other Mephoshim, that in fact this, what seems to be a machalekis or different mahalach, how to learn Poshut Pshat in the words of the Mishnah, in reality is not a machalekis at all. There are three different judgments that each and every one of us goes through on Rosh Hashanah, and all of them are included in the words Kivnei Morin. Reb Chaim explains the first mahalach in the Gemara is Kivnei Amarno. Kivnei Amarno coming from the word Omar. It means sheep, but in the word Amarno is the word Omar, is referring to speech. So Reb Chaim, the first thing that we judge on Rosh Hashanah is our actions. Our actions, everything that we've done throughout the year, Bein Letov, Bein Lera, but included in actions is our Mira. Sometimes, you know, people have this misconception that, you know, I think in this country it's encouraged by the shprach, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, words will never hurt me. Nishtazay, Chazal says the first, Nishtazay. The kayach of Amira, the kayach of Hezek, of amira, which speech, which is said, if a person speaks badly to someone, if a person speaks harshly, lashon hara, the whole hanhaga of talking about people in the home as if that were a normal thing to do, and that's the chinuch which one can give over to one's children. It's very, very acceptable to talk about people, and obviously when you're talking about people, it's not all going to be good. This whole mahalach is mamish mahalach, which is a hezek, it's a mazik. The Ben Ishchai brings a pasuk in Amos. The pasuk says, "Ki hine yitzaharim uvarei arach umagid la'odam masechi." HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates mountains and he creates winds and he tells a person what speech. Says the Ben Ishchai, what's this pasuk mean? Says Ben Ishchai, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make mountains? Who needs mountains? Make everything straight. And it's much simpler. So he says, you know why I made mountains? Because mountains and hills protect the land and the people who live on that land on the other side from the wind. You see, for example, when hurricanes come along by the sea, the areas which they smash are the areas on the coast where it's flat. They come straight in. And they're mazik. Then when they come all inland, they have to rise up to go over the hills and mountains, and they lose their koyach. So Be'etzem, mountains and hills are a protection for people from the wind. Very good. Ask the Ben Ishchai, why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the wind? So I make the wind, and then you don't need the mountains. He said, you know, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the wind? And he brings rise, and other Meforshim bring rise to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made wind to show Kal Yisrael the koyach of Dibur. Dibur we think of as speech. Dibur is just, I didn't do anything, I just said, and everybody does it. It's just, Dibur is ruach. And many psukim talk about Dibur being ruach. It's like you say, hot air sometimes, you know, people speak. It's ruach, it comes out of our mouth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings on ruchos to show us the potential that how much a ruach, how much damage, how much havoc ruach can cause. Look at the hurricanes not so long ago in America. You see the havoc which a ruach can cause, so too you have to understand the damage of speech, the potential damage that speech can cause. So the first shot is that give me a manna that we judge for every single action we do, including and sometimes especially our speech, bein atzei, bein ara. The second shot, kemailei space David. Just before we come to the second shot, sorry, there's a marsha, a beautiful marsha, not so well spoken about, on the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. On the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, there's a number of kashas, and we haven't got time now to go through all of them, but two particular kashas which are relevant to this point. The marsha asks, first of all, in this famous Gemara, Kamsa went to the emperor and he said that if he sends a korban to the Eden, you'll see there won't be much of your korban, because there's no machshiv you bechal. And he gave him a korban, and he took it on the way, and he made a mum in the korban, either inside the eyelids or inside the lip, because that is a place where it's a mum for Klal Yisrael. But the goyim who had the concept of a mum in their korbanos tavod zarah, but by then that wasn't considered a mum. Asked Mashal a number of kashas, two of the kashas. The first kasha is, why is it, and this is probably the kind of kasha you can ask when you have a good teretz, but why is it that this is a mum for us, and it's not a mum for them? They've got mumim. Why is it that we, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, Klal Yisrael, in the Shulchan Aruch, this is a mum, but by the goyim, this is not considered a mum. And the second kasha is that if, in fact, that's takeda halacha, that by us this is a mum, and by them it's not a mum, so why is it when they brought this behemoth to the Beis HaMikdash, Shreik and the Gemara has a massive hakira. What are we going to do? Are we going to be makiv a carbon with a mum? Chas v'shalom, how can we do that? Are we going to kill him in order that he doesn't go back and say what we've done, that we're not makiv? You can't do that, because if you do that, then your people will think that a person who brings a carbon that has a mum is chayav misa. On the other hand, if we just don't do anything and not makiv it, then we're gonna wind up that the emperor, and that's not what happened. The Gemara says that the korban happened because of it. For Alfred Mashal, why isn't there another option? Why don't you take a Shulchan Aruch and send it to the emperor and say, Shulduk, you know, us Yidden, we've got many, many halachas. The Goyim, it's not the first time the Goyim have heard of halachas that we have, which sound interesting to them. So, right, by the way, by us, this constitutes a mum. Right, every situation is solved. You know, by you, it's not a mum. Us, it's a mum. That's what you can find out. Why isn't even an option? It's not even discussed. So, my Shulchan Aruch explains, by the Romans, by Goyim generally, by the Romans, befrat, when they think of a man, they think of strength, beauty, how fast he can run, what he can carry, the Olympics, I know it didn't start with the Romans, but the gladiators, the whole hanhaga of the Romans was about being machshiv the goof for its appearance, for what it looks like, what it seems to be able to do. By Klal Yisrael, much more important than that is a ayin tov. The mission always says, Ayin Toiv, a person who looks at people in the right way, who looks at situations in the right way. Our mouth, our speech, Kerech HaDibur, what separates the difference between a man and an animal is Kerech HaDibur. By us, that's far more of a mum than if a person doesn't look so strong, so handsome. So forget, for us, that's mamish a mum. If in the animal there's a slit in the, inside the eyelids or inside the mouth, that constitutes a mum. But says Masha, you couldn't have explained that to the Kohen. They can't understand such a concept. What difference does it make? They don't understand the Kerech HaDibur. They don't understand what it means, Ayin Toiv. So mainly that's why it wasn't passed on. As a Masha. The second shot in the Gemara is Kamailis based dot, Kamailis based morin. Explains of Chaim Velozhin, Mailis, meaning steps, ascendancy, refers here to all of us who get judged on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for our Mailis. What does that mean? That means that every single person in Kali Yisrael has Mailis. Every single person in Kali Yisrael has strengths, has koichas, everyone's different than each other. But every person in Kali Yisrael has koichos. And on Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. On a Yom HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us in and brings us to task whether we utilize that koichos. It's no good saying, I act my life the same as the people around me, same as my chevra, same as whatever it might be. Each and every one of us have our koichos. And if we're not using our koichos, it's like, you look at a classroom. In a classroom, you've got 20 boys sitting there, if you're lucky, right? You've got 20 boys sitting there. And you get tests, and every boy gets to know who came top in the test, who came middle in the test. The mice, every single boy in that classroom is a completely different child on his own road. Happens to be, you can't unfortunately give each child individual teaching, so you put them all in a classroom. But one person can get 17, he's done far better than the person who got 90, because for him, that is the maximum of his yichayos to achieve. So too with us, we're no different than that. Every one of us has a koichos. Some people can daven better, some people can learn better, some people can do chesed better, but some people can speak to people and affect their lives in a way that other people can't. Everyone has got their own koichos, but we have to realize there's no point in sitting back on our laurels and resting on, just feeling in our comfort zone because we look like we have the same kind of chayim as those people around us. Every one of us has got things which are required from us to achieve in our lifetime. I don't think I've said it before here, but I'm sure you've heard before the story of the Netziv. If you haven't heard the story of the Netziv, it's zicha worth saying again. The Netziv, when he wrote his Sefer HaMek Shaila, his Chuvas, part of HaMek, don't we wrote HaMek Shaila? When he wrote HaMek Shaila, he made a Siyam. And at the Siyam, he spoke, and he said, Rabbi, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, when I was a bocher, I wasn't mamish the best bocher. I was very busy with different things that were going on. Some in those days, they didn't have the sorrows that we have nowadays, but he was busy. He was busy. And one night, he hears his parents talking. And in those days, you only wasted nefesh to put your children to continue learning yeshiva if you felt that they had a future. Otherwise, then you learned a craft and you made a panasa. So the Netziv heard his parents, from Naftali Tzvi, heard his parents talking. And his mother said to his father, he said, listen, Naftali is not the real deal. He's not into his learning. It's not going to be matzliach. I want him to become a cobbler. I want him to learn a craft, a trade, he should become a cobbler, and it does sound good. So Naftali came into the room and he spoke to his parents and said, please, give me another chance. I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to be serious. Give me another chance. Says, and that's it. However many years later, he brought out his Hanuk Shaila, he brought out his Hanuk Dolor. Says and said, I have no shaila whatsoever. Had I become a cobbler, I would have gone up to Shemayim and I might have been content. I would have been Kaveh Itzim Natoya, I would have been Noisim Masat and Satav Emunah, I would have gone three twillers at Tzibor a day, I would have mamish led the life of an Elech Yid. I would have gone up to Shemayim, my Kodesh Baruch Hu would have said, Nachtoli, where's the Hamak Shaila? Where's the Hamak Shaila? I would have said, sorry, it's a mistaken identity. Hamak Shaila? I've been a cobbler. I've conducted my life, mamish, Lefi Shulchan Aruch. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, where is your Hamak Shaila? Where's your Hamak Dover? Where are your Sorin? Shat is that Avada, not everybody's meant to write Hamak Shaila, not everyone's meant to write Hamak Dover. But we have potential, and if we don't utilize that potential, we have to realize this. It's in the Cheshm. It's no good just being in a comfort zone. On the other hand, who I didn't forget. There's a story with a Moshe Feinstein had a neighbor whose father was traditional. He was never zeicher to have the chinuch which we have in the school system, in the yeshivas. And at the age of 70, he was retired. And he came to his son one day, his son who was Baruch Hashem, is zeichet to have the proper chinuch. And he came to his son one day and he says to his son, I want you to teach me how to learn Gemara. I see in your spare time, the whole time you're learning Gemara, I want to do what you're doing. I know you don't waste your time. If you're learning Gemara, there's obviously something in it. I'd like you to teach me how to learn Gemara. So the son turns to the father and says, listen, Dad, 70 years old, even reading Hebrew is difficult. This is Aramaic, there's no vowels, the whole shakla v'tari of a Gemara, what's going on, it's a massive thing. You know, maybe we'll do Chumash Rashi. So no, I want to learn Gemara. So that's what happened. The father and son learned Gemara, Keseda, and made the Chavrusa, and it took over a year for them to finish their first daf. When they finished their first daf, the father turns to the son, and he says, I want to make a siyum. Finish my first daf. I'd like to make a siyum. So the son says, listen, Dad, you know, it's great. It really is, it's a big achievement. But a siyum, you make on a mesechta, maybe a perek. But you don't make a siyum on a daf. So the father says, no, I want to make a siyum. So the son says, you know what? Tomorrow morning I'm going to shul, but Moshe will be in shul. I'm going to ask Moshe, I'll get upset whether I'm going to make a siyum or not. Fine. Probably he doesn't have to make a decision. I'll go and ask Moshe. He went to ask Moshe, and Moshe said, I've vowed you to make a siyum, and I'd like to come to the siyum. Moshe came to the siyum. The next day, that man was nifta. And when Moshe came to the Levi, and he said, I want to give a hesped. And he got up at that hesped, and he said, Rabbeisai, straight in Gemara, many different stories, Vayesh koina olamoy b'shoa achas. He said, this man was koina olamoy b'daf achas. It's not about writing a Hamak Shaila or learning a daf. It's about each person doing the best they can. We can never give over a more important lesson to our children than all that we expect of them is to do the best they can. Just like on the one hand, people who can go Mamish L'Shamayim, who can achieve majorly, have to achieve majorly. People who can't achieve majorly have to be taught and educated that you're not a failure. You just have to do the best you can. It doesn't make a difference. The mark, as long as I know you tried your best, whether it's a child, whether it's an adult, that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. There's a story of a peddler, two peddlers who went to the big sale. And, you know, they met up in the inn afterwards. And one turns to the other and, you know, gives a good crest. Ugh, I've had a day. I put in an order for 1,000 barrels. 1,000 barrels! Unbelievable! So one says, wow, very good. He's not taking the bait, you know. So he said, no, what about you? What did you order? He said, yeah, I got what I came for. I said, no, what did you order? He says, I ordered a crate. A crate? A crate's not even a barrel. You come all the way here for a crate. Yeah, stay in a little corner shop. You can get your crate there. You have to come here for a crate. So the man turns back and says, you know, you're right. So one difference between you and me is that I only ordered a crate and you ordered 1,000 barrels. But you know what another difference is between you and me? Is I ordered a little crate. I paid for the crate. Anybody, I paid my debts, everything fine. You owe millions of pounds. Yeah, it's a show. You'll be matzliach. Hopefully you'll manage to sell them. You'll make a lot of money. But the vav, Asher Hashem, where you're standing now, you're in debt for a fortune. People have to realize when you have koiches, that's what all it is. It's nothing to pat your chest out about and say, I'm better at this. I done better than them. I learn better than them. I've achieved more than them. Look what I've done. Grace, I've got my name on plaques. So it's nothing. It's nothing to feel proud about. All it is posha eschivus. It's eschivus. You have debts to pay to society. The third pshat, M'chaim says, the third pshat is like chayolim, like soldiers. Like soldiers, explains M'chaim, pshat says, when you go to a battle, if one of the foot soldiers in the front line is killed, so it's terrible, but the army can carry on with their effort. If a sniper takes out the officer leading the charge, then already there's more disarray. The people have no one to turn to. They're not sure where they're meant to go. They're not sure how they're meant to do it. Imagine if they bring in a bomb and they take out the commander-in-chief. Now Mamish Bahala. The army doesn't know what to do. No one knows what to do. No one knows what's expected from them. Says Uchaim on Rosh Hashanah, apart from being judged for our actions and apart from being judged for our milas, for our kreiches, we're also judged for the people that we can be mashpia on. And the people which we are mashpia on. Again, bein l'tov and bein l'ra. We have, to me, I find this an amazing story. I think it took place in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm not sure. Somewhere definitely in Midwest America. There was a person from a traditional background, a wealthy Jew. Let's call him Mr. Jackson. I don't remember his name, unfortunately. Let's call him Mr. Jackson. And he was a wealthy Jew. And there was a kehillah, a fun kehillah there, a Torah kehillah with a kollel and with shiurim and with mamish kiruv movement going on there. And this Mr. Jackson funded most of the movement in this place for decades. And one day he was nifta, and at the levaya, and he left a trust as well. He left in his savor a trust to be mamshach, carry on this supporting. And in his levaya, the rov got up, and the rov said, "Rabbi Yisai, many of you might be asking, what does Mr. Jackson have to do with, let's call it avreichim? Right? What does he have to do with ashu? What does he have to do with avreichim b'chol? He never grew up in such an olam. It's b'chol not his type of shul. What's he got to do with it to such an extent? He didn't just stand there. He has been the primary funder of the entire kiruv, Torah movement in this kehillah. And he's made sure that he's going to mamshich afterwards. What's he got to do with that kehillah?" He said, "Let me tell you a story." He said, 25 years ago, Mr. Jackson went to visit Eretz Yisrael. At that time, he probably went to visit Israel. And he paid a visit to the coastal, as one does. And he's standing there at the coastal, and he doubled a few minutes, and then he sees that there's a man standing by the coastal, Yerushalmi, and he's got his arm on the wall, and his head is on his arm, and he's crying and crying and crying. And he's never seen such a thing in his life. Never seen such devotion, such. He thinks there must be something there for this person, much as never that. Sorrow. So he sits down and he decides, you know what, I'm Baruch Hashem, a wealthy man. Maybe I can help this man. Maybe it's Beshet that I bumped into him here. I'm going to sit here, I'm going to wait. So he sits, he thinks it's going to be a few minutes. He sits, he's waiting. This man is standing by the crystal for an hour, crying and talking and choosing and as if there's nothing else in the whole world but this man and the crystal. And this Mr. Jackson, he can't believe what's going on. He's busy never making up in his head the sorrows this man must be going through. That his mamish never cried to such an extent. After an hour, Yerushalmi brushes himself down, he wipes his face, straightens himself up, and he turns around and he starts walking off. So this Mr. Jackson finally jumps up out of his seat and he goes up to him and says, "Tell me, I don't mean to be rude." You know, as soon as you hear that in an American accent, you know what you're in for. "I don't mean to be rude, but what were you doubling for? What were you doubling for? You know, maybe there's something I can help. You know, what have we got? Is there something not well?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, what are you doubling for? There's obviously something wrong." He said, "Nothing wrong. What do you mean?" He said, "But you were standing there crying away at the wall for an hour. What? He said, "No, what about Hashem? Everything's fine. Well, Basha just talking to Abishmaku." Mr. Jackson was astounded. He said he went back to Memphis, Tennessee, and he didn't know where to go. He walked into the Judaica store and he told him this story from the coast, and he said, "Tell me, if this man would be in Memphis, where would he daven? Where would he daven?" He said, "Oh, it would be here, probably going by Avreichim. I'm making up the name of the shul." So, sure enough, Shabbos, he went to Avreichim, he sat at the back, kept a low profile, and he wanted to see, and he tapped a saw. People davening eggs, the kavana, the twiller, no schmoozing. And he was so taken up, after Shabbos, he went up to the Rav and he said, "Rabbi, I want to join your kehillah. And from now on, the check's on me." Said this Rav, "Abaisai, I want you to know, Achamev Esim, this Yerushalmi is going to go up to Shomayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, over there are your palaces of gold and silver for the kehillah that you supported in Memphis, Tennessee. For the Yidden who you were makarev in Memphis, Tennessee. For the people who heard shiurim every day in Memphis, Tennessee." And the Yerushalmi is going to turn around and say, "Where's Memphis, Tennessee? I've never been outside Eretz Yisrael. Where's Memphis, Tennessee? It's nothing to do with me." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show him the video and he's going to show him, "You're wrong. It's all to do with you. It's all because of you. In thine zchus, everything. You have no idea of the koyach hashpah which we have. Whether it's in a tefillah, you have no idea who's watching. That doesn't mean when you daven, you should think who's watching me daven. But we have no idea who we can have an impact on. Again, being the toiv and achmona nitzlan hu adin l'ra. Who knows what actions we've done, whether in business, whether in the streets, whether when we go on holiday. Who knows who's looking, people who are yidden, people who are going. Who knows what they say as a result of what they see from us. We have no idea. In Achamev Esen, we will have to give a din v'cheshen. On Rosh Hashanah, we have to give a din v'cheshen for the hashpah which we've had on other people." Rosh Hashanah Shadron said over a story that when he was a bocha, how did he become Shon Shadon? When he was a bocha, there were three bochim schmoozing in a zira, as bochim like to do, you know, sum up the world and, you know, paskin, and they were having a chakira between them as to which member of Klal Yisrael had the biggest hashpa on Klal Yisrael in the beginning of the first half of the last century. And the first bocha said Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, but Mishneh Berurah and Chofetz Chaim, Mishneh Saloshim, Chofetz Chaim. So the next bocha says, no, it's the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes is what he achieved in Chassidus and Klal Yisrael, Imre Emes. And the third bocha is by Psalm, he says, Sorishnira, really? He says, yes, do you know what was going on at that time? At that time there was the Haskalah movement, and B'nai Torah could not find Shidduchim. Women were only interested in marrying people with degrees who already had a job, and Poshut Torah was at risk in Klal Yisrael. The future of Torah in Klal Yisrael was at risk. And Sorishnira was a 17-year-old girl. She was a 17-year-old girl, and she was in Krakow at the time. It was the First World War, and they had to run away from Krakow, and she went to Vienna. And she was in Vienna, and every Shabbos she used to go to shul, and the Rav of Moshe Flesh used to give a drasha. And Shabbos Parshas Chanukah, he gave a drasha about the Chashmonoim. And he said about the Chashmonoim that their mantra was, Mi Lashem Elai. Who's going to stand up and fight for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Moshe Flesh said, Rabbi Yisai Haint is a matzah sakona in Klal Yisrael. And the Bnei Yisrael needs chinuch. And Mi Lashem Elai, who's going to pick up this mantra and say, I'm going to sort out the chinuch of Klal Yisrael? And the 17-year-old girl at the back of the room said, I am. And she went back to Krakow with her family, but she never forgot that drasha. And she started off a little school of Mechanochis, whatever you call them, and they started off, and they trained other people, and they trained other people, and the rest is history. Around the world, there isn't a city where Yidden live in with the Olam, with schools where there isn't a Beis Yaakov. And even those schools which aren't Beis Yaakov, chances are, in the school there's going to be teachers who are taught in a Beis Yaakov. If Shonra said, you know what? Now, every Rosh Hashanah, she gets a new delivery of Schusim from around the world, of Klal Yisrael, the impact that she has on Klal Yisrael. But Rosh Hashanah Chat, Shon thought one step further and said, you know who else has Schusim? But Moshe Flesh. Every year, Moshe Flesh also gets a delivery of Schusim, because he was the person who gave Sarah Shneer that shtick, that encouraged her, that she should go out and change the world. When Shon Shalom heard that, she said, you know what? I want a chelik of this. I want this. I'm going to go out, I'm going to be a maggid. I'm going to try and inspire people, because look what one can achieve. Look what the kaitas that one look what schusim one can get. Reza doesn't have to go all the way to the Netziv, one doesn't have to go all the way to the Moshe Flesh. Today's generation, it's so easy to have a good hashpa on people. It's so easy to tu'oif. There's a person who every year Mustoma is getting schusim for Hakotzas HaTorah of thousands of shiurim, for potentially people who are in those shiurim who maybe chapter pesayis oirus, maybe change their life in one way or another. He's called Nachum Zaltzman. He created the Torah way. He came up with an idea. He implemented the idea, and his poshut was sitting back, racking up schusim. Unbelievable! Ashrichem halavaya tavachelik nazarzach. Unbelievable. And by sight, it's so easy with a little bit of thought. Everyone has a yichelus to help Klal Yisrael. It's a matter of stopping and thinking about ourselves and starting thinking about how can we help people around us. Can we say a friendly word to a neighbor? Can we talk to maybe spend a bit more time with an elderly parent who you'll change their day by popping in once a day just to spend a few minutes talking. Poshut, do we stop and think, how can we make a difference in the real world? In the world of Torah, in the world of Avodah, in the world of Gemilas Chasadim. On Rosh Hashanah we get judged with three things, says the Reb Chaim. We get judged for our actions. We get judged for our milos, meaning are we reaching who we can be? Nothing to do with anyone else. Are we doing the best we can? And we get judged for the koyach hashpo, the hashpo we can have on other people. Reb Leib Lapin, finish off, Reb Leib Lapin says a mamish a pachadik a thought. He says, it states in the Mishnah that we pass before HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibnei morim, like sheep. The first pshat in the Gemara, like sheep. Says Rav Leib, imagine the farmer. He's standing there, and the shepherd and the sheep are passing through one at a time. And every tenth one he strips with a stripe of paint. What do the sheep do after that? They carry on into the pen, they eat grass, they've got no idea. The sheep which have on their back a red mark, they have no idea. If they would have an idea, they'd run over to the water trough, they'd jump in there, they'd wash it off, they'd try their best to scrub that mark off their back. They've no idea, they're blissfully unaware. A baseline we have now is 3 days' time going to Rosh Hashanah, followed by Seder Mitzvah, followed by Yom Kippur. Now is the time we have to do something to gain our schusim. It's the time we have to stop and be makabel on ourselves. How can we make a difference to people around us, whether in the near vicinity, in the further vicinity? And it's got nothing to do with the size, meaning we don't have to compare to what Yena, it's to do with us. What can we, as individuals, with our kliyos, with our families, with the people we interact with, who can we have an effect on? Who can we be mashpia on? And it's Hashem which be zeich, zeichet, 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 zeichet,